You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and hopefully watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 2/1/2021. Well, I've got a fellow COVID survivor on with me now. There's a lot of us around. In fact, there's a lot more of us than there are for people who went the other direction. Thank goodness. Well, we're seeing major short squeezes. In fact, it's an epidemic. Who would have thunk that your greatest strength becomes your greatest vulnerability if you're a hedge fund? The fact that you're short, you're naked shorting, you're creating shares out of thin air just to crash stocks. And I know somebody a few months ago, you know him too, Craig, actually declared war on the short sellers through a few legal mechanisms. I won't get into it, but basically, stock quadrupled in a day and drove out all the shorts. And he was the first. And now here we are like a few months later, and it's become an epidemic because the short sellers, the abusive short sellers, the naked short sellers, meaning they don't even have the shares. They just create them. 140% short interest in GameStop. Something sounds amiss here. Craig, it's great to have you on. I'm glad you got through the COVID okay like me. You didn't have to go to the hospital, thank goodness. Your brother survived it. You're really blessed.
No doubt about it, my friend. And it didn't even dawn on me. I've been so busy today that it's 2/1/21. That's 21/21. That's like doubling down and drawing into two blackjacks, Kerry. As COVID survivors, we should be in Vegas, man. What are we doing here?
Vegas is shut down, but yeah.
Well, that's true. Well, with the action the last couple of days and again today, I feel like I've drawn into a 21, at least for today anyway. So we're good. We're good to go.
Hey, back-to-back blackjacks, splitting on...
Right.
Doubling down on 11s, man. I mean, we hit it so many different ways here in the stocks, in the physical metal, all these things. And yet Wall Street keeps going up. I'm almost of the opinion that the stock market won't crash, even though I know it's a likelihood.
Yeah.
Because there's so much money out there.
Right.
And there's money slushing around all over the place. I mean, what do you make of it all?
Well, I don't want to be the guy, the Pollyanna, whistling past the graveyard, make it look like I'm some kind of naive or something. But after 10 or 11 years of doing this, I used to think, oh yeah, look at these valuations. This is crazy. Look at the stock market going up. This is nuts. And it never goes down. Well, I mean, I'll give you the last two examples. You go back to March, right? Of last year, here comes the pandemic and everybody's freaking out and the stock market's crashing and the Fed absolutely, just turns on the printers and opens up all these other, these agencies or these facilities, I should say, that have acronyms for them. They do everything they can to turn it around. The S&P rallied, what, like 60% from March to now? And then you go back to when things really turned for the precious metals was back in December of 18. Even the yield on the two-year note was getting up near 3%. The Fed had kind of recklessly, in a sense, tightened way too far by allowing rates to go up and spending off some of their balance sheet. The stock market crashed then. So what'd they do? They all got together on Christmas Eve with an emergency meeting and turned it around in a V-shaped bottom and up it went. So I just suspect that, they may be okay with, a 10% pullback or something like that. But the Fed and the other central banks are fighting so hard against deflation, deflationary forces, the plates stopping and a total collapse that they'll just do everything they can that they've shown. They'll do whatever they need to do to keep it going. And you think about it from their perspective, Kerry, with rates as low as they are, they've driven the entire world into risk assets. Conservative investors like pension funds or insurance companies, all of them are reaching for yield. The high yield bond index is the lowest yield of all time. You know, everybody's piling into just a handful of stocks. You want to talk about fighting deflation. What happens if the stock market crashed 50%? I mean, all that cash would just poof, you know, and all the underfunded pensions that are desperately trying to catch up. Anyway, my point is the central bankers will do everything in their power to reverse any sell-off if it really gets any momentum. Now, maybe they'll be, you know, they'll fail. You know the old adage better than I do, Kerry. You know, don't fight the Fed. So I would be surprised if, you know, I don't, like I said, I'd come back around to where I start. I want to make it sound like, oh yeah, the stock market can never go down. But I'd be surprised if it did, just because the people with the printers don't want it to happen.
Yeah. And that's where you kind of begin. So let's look at the so-called silver short squeeze, and we know physical, I know it. You talk to the same people. Andy Schechtman said their volume on the weekend was 10 times higher than normal. Same with SD Bullion. And as Andy said, he was only hedged. He wound up 35,000 ounces of silver naked shorted from his hedge on Friday. Now, he had a lot more ounces than that, so he was naturally hedged. But, man, like, that's a scary situation to be in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I've almost apologized to a couple of the advertisers on my site, because I feel like I had a hand in that, getting that rolling on Friday. I don't want to like hyperinflate my ego or something, but you know, this thing was going on Twitter and through Reddit, and I had done an interview early Friday afternoon, and I, you know, the guy was asking me what people can do, and I said, really, I mean, if you're going to impact change, if you really want to do this, the only way you can delever this hyper-levered fractional reserve pricing scheme is to withdraw physical from it. That's the only way it's going to work. We've got 7 million people in this Reddit, you know, chat room. They all made God knows how much money last week in GameStop. You know, if you could get them to take, at the time, $2,700 of their profits and buy 100 ounces of silver, you get 1 million of the 7 million. And that would have a significant impact. And so he started kind of rolling with that idea Friday afternoon. And man, it really, I mean, again, and it wasn't just me, but it really caught on. And it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it gets back to what you and I've talked about for the last, you know, however long we've known each other, 7-8 years now. And that is, look, man, if the Reddit crowd moves on, you know, they get bored because silver doesn't go up 200% in a day, like, you know, some heavily shorted equity, they move on and you're left with 100 ounces of silver that you converted dollars into silver, that's still a pretty good deal in preparation for the years to come. So it's really a win-win. So anyway, my apologies to Andy and the good folks at JM Bullion and AppMex and all and One Gold and the companies I work with. I know they had a busy weekend.
Yeah, you know, like when I was talking to Andy and he was telling me how busy he was, I said,
yeah,
I never even knew you guys were open on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I might call you to see how you're doing, but I'd never think to call you to buy silver on the weekend.
Right. Right.
You know, they're up close to $40 an ounce for physical.
Yeah.
Is there eBay. Disconnect.
Right.
eBay shuts it down. eBay shuts down Bullion. Why would eBay be doing that?
For people that are new to this, that's what you have to understand. I referenced it earlier. Your local bank, right? Your local First National of whatever. All banks operate on a fractional reserve system. Whereas if you take $1,000 and deposit the bank, and they only have a requirement, well, right now they don't have a requirement to hold any. Fed changed that back in March, but they normally have a requirement. They got to hold at least 10%, which means when you deposit $1,000, they can immediately turn around and loan out $900. That's how money supply grows, is at that bank level. Well, they only keep 100 of that on hand for, you know, immediate demand requirements. You know, if you go in and you want a couple $1,000 because you're going to Vegas to play blackjack on 2-1-2-1. Okay, they got to have cash on hand, but they don't have 100% of all their deposits as assets. How do they make money that way if that's the case? Okay, so the pricing system that has been in place for precious metal for 45 years is a similar system. It's fractional reserve. These big banks that run the system, that are responsible for marrying up the futures price with actual physical demand and, you know, kind of shuffling the shells around, trying to make sure they've got physical wherever they need it and flowing it here and flowing it there. It's all fractional reserve as well. And we know that in New York and in London, there are as many as 50 owners for each ounce. Some people say it's 100, where the 1 ounce of metal has been leveraged and re-leveraged, and the financial term is hypothecated and rehypothecated, to where I might think I own 100 ounces in some unallocated account in Sydney or, you know, Vienna, you know, not Vienna, but in Switzerland or London or whatever. But there's probably 100 other people that think they own that same 100 ounces. And as long as we don't all show up at the same time demanding it, then these, just like as long as we don't show up at the same time at the First National, you know, of Waterloo demanding cash, then the bank is fine. When everybody shows up at the same time, it's a bank run. Okay, like the old days. And so only withdrawing actual physical metal, buying 100 ounces from Miles Franklin, only that forces ultimately a deleveraging and impinges upon the bank's ability to keep that system rolling. So if we're going to get any change, all of this attention's nice. It's accomplishing a lot. But if we're going to get any change, it's always has been stated this way, and it always will be. It's going to come through physical acquisition. That's the tip of the spear right there.
Yeah. So what you're describing effectively is a shell game, just like three card Monty, whatever, where you go to pick up the card and it's not the card you think it is. And really, like you said, as long as everybody has confidence and they don't all try to get their money out of the bank, because banks are bankrupt by their very nature of fractional reserves,
right.
What keeps them in business is everyone knows the Fed is going to bail them out if they have to, so that you're not going to go to the bank to pull money out and you see a going out of business sale on the bank. They'll merge them, they'll do whatever they have to do, or they'll just print up the money and give it to them to give it to you. And because you know that, you only want your money when you think you can't get it in any of these.
Right, things. Right. And your metal too.
And the metal, same exact thing. So I never really perceived the precious metals markets as fractional reserve. But when you think there's like 1 ounce of silver or maybe two for every 100 out there, that's the very definition of fractional reserve.
Right, right. And they do it, Kerry, for a number of reasons, but primarily for large investors, whether, you know, high net worth people or institutions or hedge funds or whatever. There's a cost to owning a big, large chunk of gold or silver. I mean, you got to store it, you got to insure it, and there's this kind of negative carry cost. Okay. So already physical metal, you know, doesn't pay interest, right? And so even a treasury bond at, you know, 1% looks okay. At least it has some interest to it. If you now have a negative interest on your gold because you have to pay so much money to store it, then you might have an interest in paying less to store it. And so, okay, I'll sign up for one of these unallocated accounts. They tell me I have gold. My account statement shows when it goes up that my account goes up. But because it's unallocated, I don't have to pay as much to insure it. I don't have to pay as much to store it. Unless sometimes these banks are defrauding their customers by telling them that by charging them for that anyway. And that's happened in the past. You know that. Anyway, that's why people do this. They think, well, I've still got it. I can show up and get it at some point in the future if I want it. But I'll sign up for this unallocated jazz in Switzerland or London or, you know, or Perth or whatever, because it keeps the cost down and it keeps that carry less carry. Again, the problem is when all of a sudden there's a delivery failure, and by extracting physical metal from the system, we're pushing that calendar forward. We're bringing us closer to that point. When there is, then people look around and go, whoa, wait a second. I want mine now too. And you set off that run where you go to this fractional reserve bullion bank and you demand your, you know, 1,000 ounces of gold, you know, or, you know, however many ounces of steel you've got. And they'd say, well, you know, sign here and we'll get it to you in 90 days, you know, and you're like, wait a second, no, you know, and that's where the thing finally really breaks down. And we finally delever the system when we get back to something close to an actual fair, true price.
I'd love to see the day when that happens.
Me too.
And What about SLV? Supposedly they got 30 million ounces on Friday.
Right.
How many millions are they going to get today?
Right.
What are they going to do? They're going to turn SLV into a closed end fund.
Right.
Try to be anathema to what it is they're trying to do. And yet they can't keep expanding the number of shares because then they got to keep expanding the number of ounces as well.
Right.
So that model has to fail as well.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to trilogymetals.com. That's trilogymetals.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Right. Well, yeah. Now, it's helpful on the fringe that people are buying SLV because if you're one of these bullion banks that's responsible for supplying the metal to it, you get a big run in price like this. I mean, by prospectus, you have to supply it eventually. So now you got to go in and hedge. And now you're buying silver futures and silver forwards in London, and that's pushing the price up. So it is helpful, but it's very important for the regular investor to know if you buy SLV, you're just getting exposure to price. You don't have any access to that silver. And it's most not likely not all there anyway. You mentioned the 34 million ounces they alleged to have added on Friday. That's a logistical impossibility. There's just no way. Now, they might have added some future delivery promises, some promissory notes or delivery receipts or something like that. But there are no trucks driving around London, you know, loaded, you know, to the brim with silver and depositing in a vault somewhere. And then think about logistically, 34 million ounces is 34,000 1,000 ounce bars that weigh 60 pounds a piece. What, if as a custodian, how much manpower would it take over the course of a day to log in, register, check the serial numbers, weigh them, you know, 34,000. I mean, who believes that you'd have to, what do you believe in unicorns and, you know, and fairies too? So the problem with the SLV is it's all promissory notes in the short term like that. And if the Reddit crowd heads for the hills and gets bored and sells their SLV, then what were those banks with? They'll just tear them back up. So a much better thing to own is physical metal or something more like the Sprott Trust, where an individual can actually redeem the, like the PSLV.
Right.
But regardless, that's a long answer, but I just keep trying to make that point to people because there's so many people looking at silver for the first time. And there are some critical distinctions about what you should look at and what you should not.
Hey, one thing the millennials have learned, and I kind of predicted this was going to happen. You know, I jokingly referred to them as the greatest generation, because they're about to have all their illusions and their delusions popped. That's what has happened here. They now understand, Craig, right, that every market is rigged. And they know it firsthand after what was done to them to deliberately drive down the price of GameStop and AMC. Right. You know, it reminds me of what Wall Street, the government, Treasury, Fed did to the Hunt brothers back in 1980. With their attempted run on the silver market, they really shot them down and destroyed them and changed the rules, changed
overnight.
Right?
Yeah, changed the rules overnight to sell orders only.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah, well, I'm sorry. We own the exchange. We can set the rules and we're no longer taking it. All you're left with sellers. Where's the price going to go?
Yeah, and that lasted for about a day. And then Robinhood needed a bailout.
Right. So,
one thing that Nick Santiago says is he believes that a lot of these brokerage houses are in deep doo-doo because they've got margin calls out. And you know that investors like, let's say, come sue me. They're just not paying their margin calls because they feel like it's rigged, whatever. They can't afford it. They weren't expecting it. So you've got loads of margin calls. Then you got the demand for the increase in collateral from the clearinghouse and from the exchange. And all of a sudden, they're untenable. And I think they got bailed out with a couple more billion dollars, Rob.
Just an inside baseball thing. And this doesn't have to be complicated, but anybody that trades on Ameritrade or Schwab or any of these platforms, and those companies are offering you zero commissions, right? Everybody now at zero. Did you ever stop and think, how can they do that?
Many times I've thought about it.
How do you make money at zero commissions? Because they figured out just having the assets, having the dollars, having the equities on their books allows them to flip it all around and trade it, and all swap it back and forth with each other and collect little bits of interest on that.
And and let's not forget, they're selling your data to Citadel.
Well, yeah, that too. Right?
So
So, but understand. So these, but these firms are all.
Oh yeah.
And so this idea that they could all be that the plumbing of the system could be clogged up. Yeah, that's real too. And which again gets back to my original point. If you were to take some profits, I mean, why would it's prudent to own some precious metal anyway? You know, 5% or 10% or whatever your portfolio. If you take some equity profits after this massive run of the last 9 months and go to an online dealer or whatever and get yourself some physical gold and physical silver, look, that's a good idea anyway. And if we can get enough people to do it, well, then it might be a great idea. So as we stand at the rather interesting point here on a Monday afternoon, Kerry, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Robinhood is the Facebook of brokerage houses, because Facebook, their biggest revenue contributor, is selling data. That's the main thing. Yeah, they sell advertising, but effectively it's the data that advertising represents. That's what they're selling. And that is effectively what Robinhood does. They sell data to Citadel, one of their investors, I believe. I don't know if they still own it or not, but they were involved in its formation, so I was told. And then they take that data, and it's like the data is not worth anything unless they make trading decisions and front end all the Robinhood traders. But the Robinhood traders got one on it this time, and it cost them billions, with billions more in sight. You know, that naked shorting thing, any broker dealer can do it.
Yeah. And these people, again, they're made out. If you watch CNBC or Bloomberg or something, they make the average trader out to be just some dope, right? Sitting in her basement, you know, that's not true. I mean, you take that position at your own risk. And like you said earlier, Kerry, people are learning. They're getting a real education about how this works, how the system, the banks, and the politicians I've always called it the financial media complex, Kerry. And the financial political complex. The media is part of it, and they're all in each other's back pocket, and they're going to do everything they can. And what's the old George Carlin line, right? About it's a big club and you ain't in it. That's true. Yeah. That is definitely true.
Yeah, really true. So physical is the only ultimate insurance policy and lots of places to get it, although not as many today as there were on Friday or last Monday for sure. Where do you think this thing's going to shake out?
Well, my biggest concern is that, again, these things can go the other way really quickly. And because, again, it's driven by this crowd that this is not GameStop, okay? This is not just one stock with a massive short position where on the other side, you have a hedge fund or two that are large, but their ability to come up with margin capital is not infinite. Okay, so you can really squeeze it. And we saw that last week, right? Well, this trade is not that. I mean, the foe on the other end are these money center banks. I mean, the biggest four making this trade in the US, short silver in no order, are JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley. I mean, each of those four have been deemed too big to fail, right? So they're not subject to the same margin limitations and liquidity requirements as, you know, some hedge fund that's short GameStop or some other stock. So squeezing them is going to be really difficult. Through just, you know, buying some shares of SLV, it's going to take persistence. And again, the best thing to do is to take away their ability to keep it going by acquiring your own physical metal and taking it out of their hands. Short of that, my biggest concern, like I said, is that people will get bored, you know, and go, God, that was sure fun for a couple of days. What's next? You know, oh, look at that squirrel. And if that's the case, and all of a sudden, like I said, those 34 million ounces of promissory notes to the SLV get torn up, I mean, price could come back down to 26 pretty quick. So anybody that's really enthusiastic and excited, just be wary of that. Again, the best thing, and I just have said this now, what, 10 times? Acquisition of physical metal is your vessel in the storm of this monetary madness. You know, $5 trillion in debt this year for the U.S. if Biden gets his way. If the price goes back to 26, I mean, the best thing you can do is average in some more, probably. So we just have to be patient and persistent. And I hope that that's what, you know, all these new followers do.
Yeah, well, they've learned something. Hopefully they've learned something from all this.
Yeah.
Power in numbers and the power to equalize the markets. You know, remember, before Sam Colt made all men equal, they weren't equal. And this could be the equivalent of the Colt 45 that really tamed the frontier in America. And like I said, made all men equal. But like you said, it remains to be seen. Millennials aren't known for their long, excessive attention spans, and they might be on to the next thing. And on the other hand, this could all be subterfuge, where they know that the price of all this stuff has to go up. So it's always nice when you can blame it on the speculators and take no responsibility yourself. And right. That's what we've always seen in any market dislocation, in any market dysfunctionality. It's always the speculator's fault, right?
Right.
Never the system, the way it's constructed, the way it's enforced, the way it's regulated. No, the lowly speculator trying to eke out a living, or in this case, the guy in his parents' basement or attic, and he's in front of his computer or in front of his tablet, in his PJs, trying to. I had the best example of this from one of our community members wrote a thing. His son was watching CNBC, and they were talking about bingo, whatever the heck that was, some kind of SPAC. And at that very same moment, the guy's granddaughter started singing bingo. So he bought the stock just on that basis, and he made $7,700 in a couple of days, and he sold it off. And he was really upset because if he'd held it onto it, he would have made $14,000. That kind of behavior, they know how to manipulate that really well. So we're just going to have to see. But you want to go over to tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig's got an offer for you. Tell us how we get signed up, Craig.
Hey, just for fun, Kerry, we've done this a couple of times when I've been on your channel, and we're certainly seeing renewed interest in the precious metals after the latest consolidation. So, hey, if you want to check out TF Metals Report, go to tfmetalsreport.com and subscribe. It's usually $15 a month. But what we've successfully done in the past and people usually like from your site, we'll give you a 50% off your first month of a monthly subscription, save you $7.50.
Yeah,
all right. Turns it from 50 cents a day to 25 cents a day. How about that? Anyway, just go to checkout, pick a monthly subscription, go to checkout, type in a coupon code. We'll just say LUTZ, L-U-T-Z. And at least you can kick the tires for half the cost for the first month. So anyway, thank you, Kerry. It's a great community. We are all over this. And the community is fantastic, providing all sorts of information. I do analysis every day and podcasts every day. So there's you get a little something for your 25 cents if you give us a try.
Absolutely. I couldn't be a bigger proponent of your service. Love it. And been a member for years. In any event, any questions or comments for Craig, myself, please go ahead and email us. Let us know where you think this market is heading. A little bit behind in the email. I've been getting so many of them lately for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Send it off to kl@kerrylutz.com. Sign up for a free newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Craig, glad you're in good health. Glad your family is doing well.
You too.
Hey, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.